You know how Facebook is all about making connections with people and other apps and services? That's kind of exactly the problem. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Facebook on Sunday announced the biggest hack in its history, compromising the accounts of between 50 million and 90 million users. Part of why a Facebook hack is so scary is that the social network has ties into so many other apps and services. You might use it to log into Spotify or Tinder or OpenTable, or a whole string of apps might have information from your profile. Now, so far, Facebook has said the hackers did not access any third-party apps, but it's still investigating the scope of the hack. So let's dig into this in Quality Assurance, the Friday segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Mike Isaac is a reporter for the New York Times. He said, you might not really understand how far Facebook's web really goes.
I think for like 10 years now, Mark Zuckerberg has been sort of positioning Facebook as a identity layer or a passport to the rest of the internet. And they've literally been sort of pitching add Facebook buttons to your website, add Facebook login, so it makes it much simpler for people to just get up and use your apps like immediately. But with that sort of convenience trade-off comes a real security issue, which is like when you have all that information and all that stuff in one place, hackers are going to go after that one centralized place that much more and really scrutinize Facebook security all over the platform.
Yeah. Security experts have been warning about this exact thing for a long time, this kind of universal login. On the plus side, is it surprising that it took Facebook this long to have a hack this big?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think credit where due, Facebook, as well as Google and, you know, some other tech companies out here probably have some of the best people in the entire world working on these systems. And to be fair, there are always going to be minor bugs and exploits that folks attack. But I think if there was one attack that was going to happen, this is probably the worst possible version of it for Facebook.
Yeah. Can Facebook at this point be trusted? You know, Mark Zuckerberg sat there in front of Congress and said, if you can't trust us to protect your data, then you shouldn't use us. Like, is this the moment? Is there ever going to be a moment where people go, oh, OK, you're right. I believe you. We should not use you. You are too big to be managed properly, right? Or to trust.
I think he was not expecting that a few weeks after he said that statement, he would have an enormous data breach where they can't be trusted to serve their users with their data. So I am not convinced that they still deserve to serve their users, especially after the past 2 years of really damaging news from them. But it's still one of those convenience trade-offs. And I also don't think millions of people are going to just stop using them, at least overnight. So we're kind of going to have to wait and see if people actually log back in or not.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst case scenario, do you think, as Facebook continues to investigate this hack?
Worst case, in my opinion, would be I'm fascinated to know what, if any, information they got out of the top executive accounts. So Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg's Facebook accounts were both compromised in this hack, which means they could have skimmed through all their Facebook messages. They could have accessed what other apps that they use. So it's really fascinating to see the levels of the company that were compromised here. So, you know, who knows what that did? Who knows if there are long-term traps being posed through new accounts they created with these Facebook profiles? It's something we won't see the effects of for months, if not potentially years.
Mike Isaac is a reporter at the New York Times. Since news of the hack broke, Irish privacy regulators, who are in charge of enforcing Europe's sweeping data regulations, have launched an official probe into whether Facebook did do enough to protect users. If not, a $1.6 billion fine is on the table. Matt Purdy produces Marketplace Tech. Eve Troe is our senior producer. And thanks to Jody Becker for sitting in this week. Dan Powell and Sarah Brugger engineer the show. And now it's time for, I know, I have an idea, related links. Here are some related links. On Facebook, I've been saying for a long time now that a constant drip of negative news can eventually turn into a flood. Maybe that flood is here. Business Insider put up research Thursday saying only 28% of people who responded to its survey plan to keep using Facebook just like they were before the hack. Fully 36% said they would reduce their use or quit Facebook. I will believe that when I see it. About 30% said they would tighten up their settings or delete some personal information. And not for nothing, 62% of respondents had no idea whether they had been hacked. I have to say, I'm one of those people. Should I be getting like an email or something? There's a link to that story at our website, marketplacetech.org. And Digiday had a good story Wednesday about how ad buyers aren't super sold on Facebook's big premium video outlet, Facebook Watch. The company is actually creating original video series, and it asked advertisers to commit to spending $750,000 over a three-month period. According to the report, that number has since dropped to more like $250,000 over 3 months. That's a big discount. And apparently, advertisers aren't that impressed to find out that their ads could be running next to either CNN and National Geographic or the Cincinnati Zoo or a new Facebook Watch show called Fear Pong. Drip, drip, drip. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Not everyone gets a chance to learn about the economy in school. Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that's smart, accessible, and hopefully a little bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that's good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. And thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.